10 o'clock. Welcome to the May 2nd edition of the Finance Committee. Welcome, Steve.
Morning.
We're going to begin to see if anybody from the public has some comments. Anybody want to speak? Nope. So, Mike, you're going to give us a...
Actually, I did ask if Director Booth would lead this, or Mike can, or...
It doesn't matter.
Did you find the 218?
Sure.
Because you facilitated the meeting.
Yeah. So...
Was that recorded? Or?
It was, yeah.
It was recorded. I will put the recording up as soon as I'm done with this. I want to take off the chatter at the beginning and the end.
Okay.
And I have it on the OWL as well, and I have a meeting later on this week to put those OWL recordings on the internet because they're so big. The fellow who runs our website, he's going to help me strategize making them small enough that I can upload those files.
So, the only negative that I have to say about the meeting is that it was very poorly attended. Very small number of residents were there compared to the last town hall that we had. We had the unfortunate timing, I think, of scheduling our meeting not knowing that the Kings and the Warriors were going to be playing that night, and I suspect that that had an effect on the attendance. There may have been other factors. I thought that I was very pleased with the way that our presentation and our handouts went. Vanessa Burke did a very good job going through the budget projections and the rationale for the rate increases that had been proposed. There were a number of folks that asked very insightful questions. I think we were able to answer nearly all of them, if not all of them. May have been one or two that required some follow-up, but between Michael and Vanessa and Tim Mabee, who sat in for Director Pohl, I thought we did a pretty decent job of handling all the questions. I didn't really sense any organized pushback against the proposed rate increases. There certainly were a couple of individuals that expressed their dissatisfaction, one in particular from the Villages, who represented, he's on a very limited income, just moved back here and has seen increases in costs, and was questioned a couple of the specific cost items. And again, I thought we did a good job of providing information to him. I don't know, Michael, is there anything else that you think we should put on the record?
Just a couple of interesting items. It seemed like a good number of the questions weren't so much related to rates as they were related to water and water questions. It felt like we had almost as many water-related questions as we had rate-related questions.
Asking about the operations.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
That's all I had to add to that.
Okay.
Well, thank you for putting that on. I hope the community can see it in a video and see for themselves what was presented. How many people were there?
18.
Oh, big room for 18. Okay, well, again, thanks for putting that on. I guess you're on deck with the capital improvement projects.
Okay. Well, I wanted to bring my capital wish list to the Finance Committee. And I'm going to preface this very early on. We don't have a completed audit, so I don't know exactly what the balances are, but we're going to move forward with at least some of the thoughts of where we might be and some of the things that we do know and some of the things that we do know that we would need. So let me just get started. Now, what you'll see different this year from the previous year is these water funds are broken down into more proper expenditure categories. So we have what's known as an improvement versus a repair or replacement funds. So we have water capital improvement projects. Improvements are when you're adding a capacity or completely new process. Reserve tend to be more about repair and replacement of that existing asset. And we do have, we have separated our fund balances in those categories. And so I'm going to be, be working with Susan Rain, who's going to assist this year, hopefully with the budget. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be sticklers about where the money goes in and where the money comes out of.
I like that. We didn't have that last year, like you said. And it gives more insight into what we really have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's more proper and it's better for accounting. So I'll just kind of walk you down the list for water improvements. We have the water portion of our CIP five-year rate study. We have complete the integrated water master plan. And keep in mind, this is all July 1 forward, so I had to estimate where we're going to be on some of our current projects moving into the, because the fiscal year basically cuts the construction season in half. So I met with our district engineer. I met with some of our other consultants and used my own logic to dictate how much money will be spent when. So it's our best guess. So those two items, the water portion of the CIP and the integrated water, complete the integrated water master plan, if we're successful with our rate increase, those will actually be funded by rates. Now, we still have to have these budgeted for in capital outlay this year, and I wish Susan could be here to speak more on that, but she's right in the middle of doing a Tyler implementation for utility billing. So it's been my experience that every time, even though something might be an accepted capital project prior, it's my understanding in budget law that you have to provide that as a capital outlay item every year that you plan on funding it until it's complete. Just to show that, yeah, there's money allocated to this from the funds and money coming in, money going out.
So, for instance, number two there, the water master plan, we had $200,000 last year and we need another $200,000.
Yeah, and you've already added the amount of money needed to get to the $330,000. It's more of like, hey, we're going into next fiscal year, so we have to make sure that we have that, whatever's going to be left, appropriated.
Okay.
That's my understanding. And I'll tell you, my understanding's fairly thin budget, but I'll give you what I can at this point. So moving down the list, other projects that I identified with staff and some ongoing things that we saved from last year or is new this year or things that we learned about. Subdrain pump station enhancement. Travis, can you speak on that briefly?
Yeah, so all the lakes have subdrains where the water that soaks in through the lakes into the levees actually falls down into a sand chimney and it goes into a pipe and then dumps into what's called a subdrain pump station and then pumps it out.
And that's to protect the levees from getting saturated and failing.
Right. And so some of the enhancements that we want to do is the piping is down deep into the wet well, and confined space entries have to be done to make repairs and pull pumps. And what we want to raise the piping up to where everything can be disassembled from the top without having to dangle somebody in 5 to 7 feet down inside the wet well to loosen up the piping. We want to raise the piping and the electrical up towards the top to where it can be everything. All the maintenance can be done from there, and then also too, we want to some of the pumps are out of them, and we're going to be replacing those pumps. All of the panels have been pretty much replaced on all the sub drains, except for Chesbro. But it's my understanding that that doesn't need to be done. So all we're mainly doing is infrastructure work inside the wet wells to make it safer to work on.
Thank you, Travis. Mm-hmm. Next on the list is a water plant capacity study. And now this is something I've alluded to in past meetings. Currently, there's a thought that we have a certain amount of capacity at the water treatment plant, especially with water treatment plant number one. There's a thought that all we have to do is add additional membranes, modules of membranes, or cassettes of membranes, and we'll instantly be able to add capacity. Well, that's not necessarily true. Because of our manganese situation, our manganese outcroppings, our water treatment plant number one, the membranes do not remove manganese. So we rely very heavily on plant two, which is a more conventional water treatment facility. So the study is going to be taking a look at, based on the needed future capacities as illustrated by the Interwired Water Master Plan, what would need to occur at the existing treatment facility in order to meet those capacities. So what configuration of treatment would be needed to attend to the manganese and get the capacity that everybody thinks we have in place?
Why isn't that part of the Integrated Water Master Plan?
It could be. We could add that, but this is a whole other engineering study where you're actually taking a close look at how the plant operates, and you're actually getting deep in the weeds.
I understand.
Process-wise.
But wasn't one of the things that Atkins was going to do is to delve into the capital improvement requirements?
They are to some extent, but...
This is beyond their scope, you think?
This is going to be beyond that scope. They're going to say, you need to remove manganese to this level, and this is going to be how you do it. So this would accompany, depending on what comes out of the Integrated Water Master Plan, if we need further detail in order to make improvements, this study would fund those plans.
What's your guess as to... timing of all this? What's our guess right now for the completion of the master plan?
I think it's going to take longer than we thought. I think we're probably looking at something mid to late May for getting the story map out and getting the initial calculations. And then once we have a draft, I believe the board has promised a 45-day review period to the residents. So That could put us out, August for the first part, and then completion probably somewhere in December.
So we're halfway through the fiscal year, and if we thought we needed to do this, that's about when we would do it.
Yeah, we would start. We would start towards in the middle of the fiscal year.
It's like the first of 2025.
But we would have an inkling of it in the fall.
Oh, right. 24.
Okay. Yeah, I think because it's not like the study's done and then boom, you jump onto the other thing. Oh. You head towards it like, okay, we're going to want to do this, and then the board pulls the trigger.
Okay.
Also added, there's been a lot of talk in the past about having smart meters, the ability to...
You skipped over Rio Oso.
Oh, I did. Excuse me. Also, we are starting this year a study, like you had alluded to earlier, Martin, in the other meeting, about adding, what are we doing with the study? Should we add a jockey pump? Should we add hydromatic tank back in? What's going to be the long-term operating scenario of the Rio Oso station? So we've started that study, and the $61,000 is... the projected amount what we'll need to continue the study post fiscal year, into the next fiscal year.
So that 300, we had 380 grand last year for Rio Hoso.
Yeah, that was everything. Study, pumps, VFDs.
Do we know how far we're into it?
I'm going to find out Monday.
Okay.
As far as where are we? So the 61,000 was the estimate that was provided by the engineer of what they would need post July 1, based on their thoughts for the Rio Hoso study that they've started.
Yeah. So that's the downfall of not knowing where we're at, huh? Trying to decide. Maybe there's money left over from the 380 that we're going to spend.
Yeah, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, we can look at the billings, try to figure out where we are.
Okay.
On the smart meters, so there was a plan when I got here taking a look at the potential of adding smart meter. Sending units to all of our meters eventually, so that we would have a receiver, a couple of antennas that would receive this real-time smart meter data, and then be able to potentially also identify leaks in the system as we move forward. That's going to cost a lot of money, and that's going to be, we're going to really need a grant to get that done, unless the board wanted to get it done right away. But what I advocate to do is to put up the receiving station, because I believe there's a certain percentage of the meters that we have already that already have that ability. Then all we have to do is set up the receiver station in the software to be able to capture that existing data from that. I think it's like 20 or 30% of our meters, if that much. And that would be kind of getting our foot in the door for getting used to utilizing the smart meter system. I mean, the ultimate goal for me is to have every meter a smart meter. We no longer have to go around the truck to scan everything. We can have access to everybody's water use on a real-time basis, have some alerts if there's a large amount of water use, maybe there's a leak or a pressure loss, and also have the ability to access this information tied in with GIS and have the residents be able to access their own meters so they can track their own water use. So there's some real big future advantages. And this would just be to set up the receiving station and the software to capture the meters that we already have.
What percentage?
I think it was like 20 or 30%, if I recall, already have these sending units that we can utilize. Do you know the exact number, Travis? It was Ron told me a month ago. But there's a significant amount of users that we could capture in this first. It would be basically getting our feet wet, seeing how we like it, and then wetting everybody's whistle to continue, and assuming that we could either get a grant or the district just wants to fund it.
You had almost 700 grand in there last year.
That was to actually put transmitters in.
Yeah.
This is, I'm just saying, hey, let's take a step back, set up the receiver station, get the data, our existing data that we can get, and then see what we want to do on phase two. Like I said, I have, there's a couple of grants that we're going to be looking at for water augmentation or water augmentation-like things, and this would fall in that category.
Say that again.
So we have some grants that we're looking at water augmentation ideas.
Yeah.
And the theory behind the smart meters qualifying for water augmentation is if we have pressure sensors, then we can find out when we have leaks instead of like discovering it later, more of a real time. Or if someone's using a lot of water, they can potentially at some point in the future be able to log in and see how much water they're using. Like, oh, wow, I've used a lot of water. Maybe I need to reduce that. Or maybe I have a leak.
Yeah.
So that would get our feet wet.
No pun intended.
Yes, no pun intended. And so per 2019-20 audit, we had about almost 2.2 million dedicated to water capital improvement projects. Of that, about 2 million is in water augmentation, which can only go for water augmentation projects. We do have an unrestricted water fund available for both improvements or replacement capital of about 790,000. A couple other items I wanted to bring your attention. As you know, yeah, I already mentioned that if we get our rates like we would like, $425,000, that will be funded by rates. We have about $440,000, which will come in with our $14 capital reserve fee. Now, half of that can be utilized for water, half for wastewater. And we also have property tax that we're not going to be propping up operations and security with. So there'll be some additional monies to fund shortfalls as we see them moving forward.
I'd like to comment on this concept of securing a rate increase and relying on that rate increase to pay for these two studies. These are one-time studies, and I think that we should pay for those one-time studies out of one-time monies. And by that I mean either out of reserve funds, capital improvement funds, or using property tax money that comes in. I do not think that we, especially unless and until we have a five-year rate study completed, where we know for a fairly reasonable period of time what our rate needs are going to be, with the increases in the other two utilities, wastewater and solid waste, being as substantial as they are proposed for next year, my understanding is that if we took those two studies out of the operating budget for water, we would not need a rate increase for water. And you're nodding your head in affirmation of that.
I just know right. The numbers. That's
yeah, and so I'm proposing that this committee recommend back to the board that we not rely upon a rate increase for those two studies, and that we either use reserve funds or use the property taxes that are coming in for that purpose, so that we're not perpetuating a 4% or whatever, 5% rate increase, whatever, 5% I guess it is, rate increase, until we know that we need that for the future. And I think it just would give the rate payers a little bit of relief in fiscal year 23-24 if we did not rely on a rate increase to pay for those studies.
I think I'd reserve my judgment until I see a budget with it in, because I don't know where we're going to end up. So it's hard to predict where we're going to end up. We haven't seen the budget yet, so we proposed something for the Prop 218, and there's some money in there for it, but I don't know how you can make a judgment until you see where the budget comes in.
Well, Martin, in the 218 proposed rates, one of the components resulting in the recommendation for rate increases was these studies. When Russ Branson put together those slides, you remember, and we presented this to the community last week, specifically our proposed rate increase is to cover the cost of those two studies.
Yeah, I understand.
And so I'm saying I think we should cover those studies through some other fiscal mechanism, and that would eliminate the need for us to raise the water rates this next fiscal year. And I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously all those decisions get made in the context of the total budget authorization, but since we're proposing those rate increases to fund that, presumably that would be in the budget that way. I just And we'll have more discussion on June 7th about it. But I'm just earmarking right up front, I think it better not to fund those studies with a rate increase, especially given the significant increases in the other two utilities.
Okay, you're not done yet over there.
No, I'm just getting started. So under our water reserve projects, we have the ongoing GIS updates. I want to continue investing in GIS because I think it is a very useful tool for us. Some of the things that we're going to be putting in GIS as we move forward is things that we're going to be adding. We're going to make the water and sewer and storm drains more and more accurate. I have a part-time person I've been utilizing to help us with that, Aurora. We're also going to be, if we get the smart meter integration, I want to start adding a layer of smart meters that we can click on and see data use, potentially integrating our camera system into GIS, so you'll be able to click on the camera and view footage. So the GIS is going to be kind of a one-stop shop for operations. Other items that we're going to be adding, and we're in the process of adding now, we just had some condition assessment work done on Unit 1. And that consists of pipe rating based on the defects of the pipe. They put a camera in and the camera footage. We're going to be linking that information to GIS as well. So as we get condition assessment work done, that gets tied to the GIS. So GIS becomes this one-stop shop.
Michael, for my edification, another life, GIS stood for Geological Information Systems. What does it stand for?
Geographical here? Information
okay,
Systems.
Okay. That's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. We use that on vehicles and such, other places I've
been.
Yeah. It's track where they go and what they do.
It's a really powerful tool. It's been around a long time. I was pleased that it was already in place when I got here. I didn't have to advocate for it from scratch. I want to be adding to that, and so this would be the water portion of that for that next fiscal year. Expect to see, you know, a little line item every year until it's going to be an ongoing living document, basically. Water condition assessment. Condition assessment is something that I feel is very important and also dear to my heart for infrastructure. You don't know what you have until you know what you have. So
I'm in agreement with that. I'm surprised you said you already did it for Unit 1. I thought we drew the line above that last year.
Last year, the sewer condition assessment made it, but the water condition assessment got the line drawn above it.
Oh, but for wastewater we had it.
Yes, we did it for wastewater. So there was two lines that were drawn, one in water, one in sewer. Yeah. Water condition assessment didn't survive the line.
That's right.
So we did not do that.
So, but you just told me you did it for Unit 1.
Wastewater.
Oh, excuse me.
Sewer.
Okay. Yeah.
The water condition assessment's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You can't really go inside the water pipe, but there are different things that you can do. You can use vibration analysis and other methods.
Okay.
So one of the big items is the water treatment plant chlorine to sodium hypochlorite replacement. It was estimated that we would be utilizing a majority of the construction in next fiscal year at about $700,000.
I remember looking at that.
We have a line item for replacing some of our water plant membranes. Now, membranes have a life of, 8 to 10 years? And
10 years or 1 million parts of chlorine.
Yeah, and so we have, you know, several membranes that have gotten old, and it's time to replace them. We probably replace them every 3 or 4 years, and it's in a constant cycle.
Can I just...
Please,
real quick.
Educate us.
The reason why... with the membranes, as it sits right now, each membrane module, there's 87 modules per cassette. Each module costs $1,000, and it costs $1,200 to ship it. And so...
Take one module.
Yeah, so the thing... So when we spent $12,000 for five modules about 2 months ago. So my thought is if we ordered them in bulk, we could get a better shipping rate because they have to be temperature controlled. So, and they come from... they come from Canada. If we're not replacing a whole cassette, if we're replacing a whole cassette, they come from Scandinavia or some place. But if we order, like, you know, say 20 of them at a time or whatever, they keep stock like that in Canada. But the cost is, I figured if we ordered them in bulk, we can probably get a better shipping rate and save money that way. So that's why I asked Michael for that amount for replacement on those.
And it's the assumption that we'd store them in a, you know, climate controlled condition.
Yeah, we actually have a room that's got our panels in it that we keep at between 60 and 65 degrees. And that is optimal to store those in. And so we have some of them in there. And we have room to store some, but we also need to be replacing some of them too.
Okay, thank you, Travis. We have a line item for completing the Grand Lease Safety Rehabilitation Project. A majority of the construction is thought to going to be occurring next fiscal year. Let's see, we have our CIA flow meter rehabilitation project. So there's a few flow meters along the CIA ditch that we have to utilize for reporting for our water rights. And a couple of them just don't work very well. And some of them don't work at all. So the thought is go in and replace those and potentially install one where there isn't one so we can get our water rights reporting in correctly. Yeah. And we're, I believe, one-third of that.
Correct.
That cost, but we have to budget for the whole amount, even if we take in two-thirds of that funding.
So just part of that funding is over at the Equestrian Center. We have one of our meters that's towards the there's two meters down over by there. One of them is actually in the Equestrian Center. And when the water starts to get low in the ditch, the boards get removed so that more water can get through, and that nullifies the read of the meter,
which is a big no-no for reporting.
Yeah, which is very bad. And so part of that funding was that we would put a permanent weir in there. So where the boards can't be removed, so that way we can keep accurate reading. That was one, because and not knowing what that's going to cost, that's part of that dollar.
It has to be designed so they can still get their water and still get the flow measurement.
Right, so.
Thank you, Travis. We also have an item for replacing the SCADA server at the water treatment plant. And it says three of them. Let's see, replace chlorine and pH analyzers. That's at the water treatment plant. Just a simple process.
Replacing the SCADA servers, is that because this current equipment has become obsolete or it's insufficient? What's the rationale?
The rationale is based on the information that I was told by our IT people, the servers have about a five-year life cycle. I'm just going off of what they... So they've been in use since 2015. And the way... now that we are strictly on SCADA, Plant 1 can operate if our servers go down, but Plant 2 can't because we have just a little HMI. So what we want to do is... What I've asked Michael is if we can replace... We'll replace the servers, and then during that, they will also update to the latest and greatest software that is available for what we use.
And what kind of redundancy do we have there?
What we have is we have two SCADA servers. We have SCADA 1, which is our main one, and SCADA 2, which is our backup. And then the third one is our historian. We have to, it's just all graphs. We have to supply, and that also prints out our report for the state. We have to supply them with several different types of information. So the redundancy is if our main server goes down, the second one backs up. But the problem is, though, is they're both running at the same time.
Right.
And so the plant one is the SCADA is just reading off an HMI that's actually running plant one. And those have a longer life cycle. Plant two was completely integrated through Allen Bradley PLCs, which are readily on the shelf. But we do not have any screens to run anything on plant two should the server go down for plant two.
Thank you, Travis.
Yep.
Can you also speak about the Chesbrough compressor and buoy system that you desire this year?
Yeah. So we started on the compressor system is our first line of defense for the manganese control in the lake. We've added some aeration pods in there. Our two big compressors are getting old. And they're leaking oil, and so we want to replace those two with some smaller Casco pods that we've already added to it, the old compressor units just have a weighted line that sits at the bottom of the lake, and those get plugged up. The heads that we're using with Casco, they actually sit on the bottom and they can be lifted up a foot off of the ground, the head, so they're not actually laying on the ground. And with the Cascos, they're just little motors. If a motor goes bad, we have some on the shelf. They all use the same ones. We just pull a motor out, put a motor in, and we move forward. The buoy system, I'm sure that everyone that's been in around Chesbrough has seen that buoy system that we have there. The lines get cut, and we have it there to protect the airlines from the fishers, from the people fishing. I want to get a better buoy system that can't be just arbitrarily cut or degrade and rot away that goes around the system. I did get a quote from Solitude. They do our lake maintenance, and I did get a quote from them for replacing the compressors and also doing the buoy system. And I think for the protection of our equipment there. And for to keep the aeration going for our manganese issue that we have, we should, you know, that's why I'm asking for this.
Thank you, Travis. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to bring your attention. When I moved these tables around, I didn't update the resulting fund balance estimate for the second part of table one. Now, because we have SB 170 funds allocated for the water treatment plant, sodium hypochlorite, and Granley's projects of approximately $522,000, our resulting fund balance would be $451,870, not negative $70,000. I added those funds back in and didn't hit refresh, so apologize for that if you want to make that. And at the bottom, at the very bottom, this shows the unrestricted water fund available for improvement or replacement capital as of 2020.
How does that relate to the other numbers?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. So if you take the The subtotal for water reserve projects, which is $1.8 million,
yeah,
showed the funding according to the 20 audit of 1.7 and change. And then you add back in the funding from the SB 170 funds, you should have roughly $452,000,
yeah,
instead of negative $70,000. It was negative $70,000 before I added the SB 170 funds back in.
What about this last line of 789?
That 79 is all by itself. It's just showing what the unrestricted water fund is. That can be, it's unrestricted because it can be used either for the water capital or water reserve. It can go to either. You cannot use improvement funds for reserve funds. You can use reserve for improvement.
Okay.
But the unrestricted water fund is its own separate fund that can be used for either.
I understand. So I see four projects on here that are holdovers from last year's capital improvement projects, right?
Yes, there's probably at least four.
The only other two that we had in there were last year, the drying beds and the sediment basin. I take it those are done?
The and sedimentation basin's in the process of being done.
You actually just got done yesterday.
Okay, so. Done.
How, I don't know if you know this yet, but in the past, we've had money in the budget for small maintenance projects in the budget. Do you know if we're going to do that again? Have you heard? Because I always thought it was odd that we weren't paying for fixing stuff out of reserves instead of paying it out of operating.
I think that it would be more appropriately taken out of reserves.
That was my thought. But I was wondering if we're having money in the budget this year for maintenance type projects.
I did not put a capital maintenance budget in the reserves. We can add that for sure.
No, I mean in the operating budget.
I haven't even seen it this year.
It seems to me those two things kind of go together.
Yeah, I mean it's I can go fetch Susan if we need her expertise, but I believe if you spend money, I think the line is $5,000, it becomes capital outlay, or if it's a larger piece of a larger project, it's capital outlay. But I think if it's just, if it's like a maintenance project, like, I don't know, I'm replacing a filter on something, or...
I was told in the past that it was for convenience, so we didn't have to go write a check out of reserves for something small, but the number in the past has been, I don't know, up in the 40 grand range or something like that.
What it ends up adding up to?
Yeah.
I unfortunately haven't seen any completed budgets with that item in it, to be honest with you. This is unprecedented for me, for sure.
And there were two other things on last year's capital improvement projects, and one was administration and one was security. But with regard to the administration, that was our new software system, and my understanding it was going to get taken out of, and it was going to be allocated toward the capital improvement projects of water and wastewater and whatever.
Is that the understanding?
Yeah, so I mean, that implies that there's another item here that has to be funded.
Oh, you mean to fund Tyler?
Yeah.
So Tyler's got to come out of water, wastewater?
That was my understanding.
Okay, we'll add that.
And then I guess my last comment, just going to go over to the other one, is it's really difficult to appropriate funds when we don't know what funds we got. Is there a plan B that maybe we just roll over the ones that we had from last year just to make sure we're covered for the ones that we know we're going forward with?
Well, that's an option. If you look at, I haven't even got through wastewater yet, but you know, in the second part of this memo,
Oh, it talks about that?
Yeah, we can just move on to that now if you like.
No, let's finish then. You can.
Okay, we'll go through wastewater and then we'll.
Maybe I haven't read far enough, but okay.
So for wastewater, we have, for improvements, we have the wastewater portion of the five-year rate study. And then we have completing our lift station generator projects. And so these are to provide generators to, I believe, I'm drawing a blank, FAA.
Cantova.
And Cantova. Yeah. Currently, neither of those stations have generators. And so once those lift stations have generators, I think all the major problem area lift stations will be on generators at that point, with the exception of
6A.
Which is
a fairly small one. It's the one that's across the golf course.
Right.
And if we had to, we could.
That would be overkill.
Yeah.
Probably. Also, with the FAA lift station, it's also it's shared with the stormwater. So there's a possibility for a funds match from drainage, although we don't have a lot of money in drainage at this time. And then we have the recycled water augmentation study that I talked about earlier today in improvements. So if we, during the integrated water master plan, if we come up with ideas about augmenting or the need to augment our recycled water, this would further get deeper into the nuts and bolts on how exactly to do that and get it done. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to get a grant for this. I think also we could potentially utilize, I think the grant would be the best way forward. So we've applied for a couple of grants. If we get one of them, maybe we move forward with this, if it makes sense per the Integrated Water Master Plan outcome. For reserve projects, I want to continue with GIS updates. So this would be sewers share of that, and condition assessment. We're just doing a little bit at a time. At some point, we may bite the bullet once we know how much money we have and want to get caught up and do a full asset management study where we just go through and do everything. But for now, I'm chipping away at it. We have the remainder of our lift station rehabilitation projects. That's basically Starter Shack, Alameda, and 3B. 3B is going to be going to bid pretty soon, but we're probably going to be doing Starter Shack and Alameda more so in the next fiscal year. We have the main lift north pump replacement. Didn't we utilize a pump last year?
Yeah, we utilized
from the shelf, so we need to replace the shelf pump.
Yeah, that's our main sewer station. And so when they went to repair the pump, it was not cost effective to repair the pump versus replacing it at that time.
So we just took the one off the shelf.
So we took the one. So right now we don't have a backup for Main Lift North.
So this would be replacing that backup. Yeah. There's been some roof damage at the Main Lift North pump station. We'd like to repair that. The east DAF control panel. The DAF is a dissolved air flotation unit. It's part of our tertiary treatment facility. And I guess that panel is at the end of its useful life, Travis?
A long time ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Needed project. Then the big one is complete the treatment plant chlorine to sodium hypochlorite conversion project and the contact tank rehabilitation project. So this would be switching from chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite at the wastewater treatment plant and constructing a concrete contact tank to replace the temporary contact tank that we've been using, which is a series of PVC pipe. We've got sub-drain pumps to replace over at the treatment plant. Is that the drying bed, Travis?
No, it's not the drying bed ones. There's a sub-drain behind it.
Okay.
It's just one that's back there.
To protect the dam.
Yeah, and those pumps need to be replaced.
We have the Greens lift station evaluation. There's been some settling there at the Greens lift station. It's not an emergency, but it's something we should probably, this would probably just fund a geotechnical investigation on how to stop it from sinking and what to do to fix it. We'd probably fix it the next fiscal year.
Yeah, the only concern that is there is when you walk in, the Tesco panel is actually gone from level to leaning.
Right.
So the question is how far can it lean before it starts pulling out electrical
stuff? Well, the question is why is it sinking and then how to fix it?
That, but yeah. That would be one of the concerns.
And then we have some money in the budget to replace one of the Ford Rangers with an F-250. And that was a staff recommendation.
Yeah, that was Ron had asked for the utility, because they have one of these little small Rangers that that can't pull any equipment, can't tow any of our big equipment. So it was asked that if that could be replaced. It's at its life cycle. It's got a lot of miles on it, that if it can be replaced with a bigger one, that could be more useful for the utility department.
I would be interested if the board does approve a vehicle to take a look at starting to convert, convert the fleet to electric vehicles, potentially, and take a look at, you know, what would that entail and how practical would that be based on the amount of time that we sit idling, and based on the future availability of electric vehicles, it might be something to take a look at. All right, so in the improvement projects, according to the 1920 audit, we would have a shortfall of $640,000 if we did everything from the first part of the table. You know, we would look at taking funds from unrestricted wastewater for improvement or replacement capital. We could take a look at utilizing part of property taxes, maybe moving some reserve money around. So we'd have to take a look at that. That's a tough. And like I said, it's like Martin said, it's hard to tell what exactly we have because it's been a couple of years since we've had a balance. For wastewater reserve projects, we're much better situated, and I also wanted to call another mistake that I made. Resulting fund balance estimate should be $2.29 million because I did not add the SB 170 funds when I submitted those. So we have about $750,000 originally allocated for that wastewater treatment plant chlorine to sodium hypochlorite and contact rehabilitation project. So that resulting fund balance estimate should be updated to $2.29 million.
Which table you on?
Oh, table two at the bottom. This
is $1.5 million this extra reserves plus the $750.
See what I updated? This didn't get added to the difference between those two.
So what's the bottom line?
The bottom line, 2.29. And then down... And then we have this available also, but it's unrestricted that you go to either this fund or that fund, according to the last audit.
And I'll get this chart updated and I'll post it right after the meeting. And I'll email it to you and all the rest of the boards that you all.
And Michael, you said that we can use reserve project money for capital improvement projects.
We can. I've been told that we can move money from reserves into improvements, but you can't move it from improvements to reserves because of the funding.
So we look at that $639,000 deficit above. Theoretically, there's $2.2 million and $1 million available to if we move some stuff around to cover that.
The only restriction, and there's also additional flexibility with the SB 170 funds. They do not, initially when we... filled out the application and the contract, they just said, hey, what part of this do you figure will be used for the water projects? And you just put in an initial amount. There's some flexibility in where those funds can go between water and sewer as needed. So But we can't use those funds for anything other than those three projects.
Right.
I wish we would have asked for more.
So that I'm on table two, item seven, do I take it that the cost of that construction went up from our previous, what we knew last year?
Well, it depends on when last year. This is the last, I got this number from the Westio study.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we took a look at UV as an option?
Yeah.
I took that from the, that portion of it from the Westio. Basically, what are we going to use this year versus what's going to go into. So this is the July 1 forward portion.
So you took a stab at what we've already spent, is that what you said?
Well, I took a stab at what I think we're going to spend this year, subtracted it from the project, and what we have left is 1.4. It's a significant amount of work. Anytime you build a tank in wastewater, it's about $1 million.
Are these proposals ranked at all?
These are ranked.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to let go of any of them, really, but I rank them based on what I think our needs are.
Okay.
I mean, it's tough, though. It's like if you go back to table one and, you know, you draw the line between 6 and 7 and then our server goes out. You know, but the thought is this is really, we can appropriate money at any time during the year. This is just kind of a plan moving forward. Like, for instance, I haven't foreseen any storm drain projects. We're going to be taking a look at those in our CIP 5-year rate study. You know, if we, there's some ugly stuff out there, but I don't have a project right now. If we end up with another issue, we just appropriate the funds.
Mm-hmm.
Until we have a full CIP and then supported by a good asset management plan, we're going to probably be doing a little bit more reacting than I like, but we're moving towards getting out of that reaction business. So you asked, what if we just take existing projects and take them over? So if you go to table three, yeah. So now, granted, we don't have an existing CIP 5-year rate study, but that's something we have to do. We've told the community we're going to do it. We got to do it. We have to do it. So I added that in. Underwater reserve projects, I want to keep I consider the GIS and the water condition assessment. These are ongoing items that we're going to spend every year. And they don't have as large of an impact on the budget. Our two current projects that we're in design phase for now are number three and number four, the chlorine and sodium hypochlorite replacement and the Granley safety rehabilitation projects. Both of those are SB 170 funded.
So I take it our task here is to give a recommendation to the board of what we do with capital improvement.
I think so, yeah.
My recommendation would be to send forward the ones we did last year, and once we know the fund balances, we address it when we get it, and add projects or subtract projects.
Oh, yeah.
From the list of capital improvement projects.
You know, I actually think that's somewhat sound. Once we know what our balances are, I mean, we could potentially come back and appropriate additional projects in September or October as needed. We're going to be plenty busy with the existing projects.
I think you still need to put back in Tyler money.
Yes. I've got a note for that.
Steve, what's your What's your pleasure?
I agree with the concept. Again, I reiterate that what that leaves us with for water capital is those two studies, and I've already made my thoughts known on those. But I think at this point in time, it's prudent to move forward with those things that we're already committed on and try to reassess at a later date when we've got better financial data.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, the board, as long as money's available, the board can augment the budget anytime during the fiscal year, right?
That's right.
So if there were a specific item or project, we could always meet on an emergency basis if we needed to, if there was an emergency repair needed or something. It was unanticipated, right?
That would be my recommendation.
I can't find fault with any of these things you proposed. In a better world, we would say yeah, do it.
Yeah, we'd fund them all, right?
Well, it's a long list, but we're still playing a little bit of catch up.
Yeah.
But once we, like I said, once we get there, it won't be as bad.
I think we're playing catch up with reserves too, right?
Oh yeah.
That we should be funding reserves more, and taking money out of reserves makes the balances even go down further. And that, I don't really like that. I think we got in the future, we're going to be faced with things we don't even know about, and we need to have money sitting there to take care of them.
Well, ideally, I think, and this is a recommendation that came to us from outside the district too, is to use the property tax money every year to go into reserves. And that's, just shy of $1 million a year right now. And it still would take us, 12 years doing that if there was no other augmentation of reserves, to get to the level recommended at $20 million. But again, some of these things that are here now as one-time costs, it makes sense either to use the unrestricted funds or siphon some property tax money, in my opinion. But yeah, we have the unfortunate set of circumstances of playing catch up, as you described, Michael, and then trying to plan for the future. And I mean, I know my own home budget, that's faced that on occasion. And it's a difficult choice, but we're going to have to make some hard choices. So I think if we limit what we authorize moving forward on CIP at this time, mm-hmm. till we have better data.
Can I
agree with
Marcus.
Please,
Travis.
The main lift north pump replacement that we're asking for, that's 4 to 6 months to get.
I lumped that in.
Well, I know, but I'm just, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, if they're saying just move, maybe I'm not understanding.
Yeah, basically, Travis, I've lumped that in with the lift stations.
Oh, okay, because I would like
it's
to.
It's in table four.
Okay, I saw it there, but it's my understanding, maybe I'm not understanding, that you're only moving forward with last year's stuff, not you're not moving forward with any of this year's. Am I misunderstanding that?
Well, then I would amend it.
No, I'm just.
The idea
he doesn't
keep those in there. It's only $65,000.
So. Yeah, because if we only have two pumps, if one goes down, you're going to spill. And so I would like to. I mean, if that the backup one is four to six months to get, it's like if that could be approved for the CIP just asking.
If I may, Martin, what you're recommending then is moving forward with tables 3 and 4.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're covered.
Oh, okay.
So let me ask you this, Travis. Can I ask you this question?
Yeah.
Is there anything on table 3 and table 4 that you see that will be in big trouble if we don't get from table 1 and 2? Is there anything on table? Let me rephrase that question. Is there anything on table 1 and table 2?
I only see table 4.
That we don't do.
So what page should I go to, Mike?
Go to the first page.
Very good.
I just want.
Okay, here's table 1.
Is there anything, if we don't do, we're in trouble?
I'll make it bigger for you, Travis.
We only have items 1 and 2 on table 3, Travis, to help you.
Yeah.
So items 3 through 6, Michael's asking anything in 3
through
6. Yeah,
so the only thing that I would be concerned about would be the servers. The replace the SCADA servers.
Yes.
And that's... Oh, and... So anything on 1 through 5, is that what you're saying?
These were taken out, and these were taken out.
Okay, I would...
Water plant membranes, CIA, replace
skin
servers, replace
lane.
I mean, when I say taken out, paused
right.
until we have...
Our Michael, excuse me, table 3, you've only got 4 items, not 5.
So, see, we took out the membranes, which was...
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
The servers would be my big concern.
Item number seven.
But can they last another three? Can we go 3 more months, basically?
Yeah. And I'm just 6. Talking about for next fiscal year.
Right.
And like I said, the only reason I'm talking about those is just based off of what our IT department information has given us.
Right.
And so, because like I said, if those servers go down, plant one will run to an extent, plant two won't. And there's some parts of plant, you know, it would be an interesting time at the water plant.
What's the lead time on those?
I would have to talk to IT, because Tesco, when we were asking Tesco to do it, we were looking at 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
So they can get the servers and upgrade. So a lot of it would be what we'd have to ask IT at this time what the lead time would be on those.
So what the committee is kind of moving toward is...
Shall I go to the next page there so I can look at...
Yeah, yeah. What they're kind of moving towards is, these items are important. They find no fault with the items. It's when those items get done. Like, we're going to move forward with table 3, table 4... Mm-hmm. But we're gonna kick the other projects down the road a piece until we get more audit information and where we can appropriate those funds at a later date once we have better information. I think that's what they're saying. I don't think they're saying no. They're saying maybe a little later.
Yeah, I mean, if I recall, I've seen estimates of somewhere between high $8 to mid $10 million in reserve. That's a 22% to 28% swing, depending on which end you calculate it at. If we find out we have reserves towards the higher end, then we're in a better position to go back and fund some of those projects shorter term as opposed to having to put them off longer.
Okay. And those individual funds that are restricted.
Right.
We have to. So anything from the wastewater, if it doesn't get done, it's going to be...
The chlorine, the east. We can make the east staff work another year.
Okay.
The panel. Yeah. The pump is the main thing that is my big concern is the main lift north pump out of that.
And that's in there.
Yeah.
And that's over on the table.
All the other stuff. I mean, the other stuff. If something was to go wrong, we can make something work with it until a part was ordered.
Okay.
Which of the first 6 items did you eliminate, Michael, for table 4?
Table 4, okay.
Let's see.
Because there's 6 items in table 4 and it includes number 7 from above. So one of them
I eliminated the east staff control panel.
Okay. Which is the one that Travis just said he could live without
pumps,
for a while. Okay.
Greens lift station evaluation and replace board ranger.
Okay, thank you.
I think we have consensus.
I think so.
I think it was a really good discussion.
I feel I have some direction.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add the Tyler cost back into this memo, fix the math errors, and put that back out, and I'll provide a copy, and then we'll post it.
You're going to put half to each?
What's that?
You're going to put half of the Tyler to each?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. Well, I might go.
Whatever you want.
I'll ask Susan how to allocate that.
And what's
property.
That dollar value?
I don't know.
Last year it was 230.
Okay.
So I'll get that back out to you and post
it. Some of that's already been spent this year, right? That was 230 the total cost, or that was just what we thought we'd get done in this fiscal year?
Well, it depends on how much was allocated to the utility billing portion.
Okay.
With the remainder of the upgrade.
Okay.
John?
I'm just curious, on table 4, number 2, generator projects, why we wouldn't go out there and look at
7 or 10 year lease on the, those pieces of equipment, just to allow you to have, keep the capital in your pocket while you get the upgrade of the equipment and fund the other projects.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Just thought.
That's a great idea. Compare those, you know, 30 year costs. Can we rent generators for that long of a period?
Yeah, Pact Machine rents them to us. We paid about $6,000 for the month.
They might give us a better deal if we did it. So can you find out about that?
I will call Fred. Yeah. He's actually a resident.
We'll do a 20-year cost.
And that applies to which item?
That is lift station generator projects, table 2, number rank number 2.
So can I?
Doesn't that have a downside, which forces to put the money into operating budget?
Table 2, number 2. I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Mark.
Doesn't the idea of leasing have the downside of forcing the money to go into the operating budget, which is tight already?
Well, that I think John was alluding to, that's a benefit as far as not coming out of reserves.
Yeah, but there is a downside.
There is a downside. It'll likely cost us more over that time period.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the money's going to come out of operating.
Right.
That means your rates have to be high enough to capture that.
Potentially.
Right.
So something else has to go.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't want to interrupt your thought, but we've had a lot of success getting generators that have been on a project for 6 months, and they get a huge discount to the new price. You don't get investment tax credit or anything like that, so your capital cost gets reduced. The interest number doesn't, at the end of the day, the cost isn't going to be more than $450.
So you're leasing the used one, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, sometimes they have one that's just come off of a short-term project that are the same piece of equipment. It's already broken in, and
right,
and they guarantee them anyway.
Well, the sizing would be tricky. For sure.
I get that.
But you'd have to be lucky and that works.
You know? But there's, you know, even Holt and the Cat guys are out there with deals all over the place.
Well, we have a current quote from Holt to buy them, and that's nowhere near $450,000. I think part of that money was the designing of how to get
the electrical design
to get all that done at FAA.
And there's also, you know, an access road that we'd have to put into FAA, assuming we can get an easement.
Because at Cantova, it's just we'd get rid of the one that's there, put another one in, and then we want to get transfer switches put in so that way it doesn't. But a good part of that money was the design of how we would do FAA. Because the quotes that I got to actually purchase the generators are a lot less than that I got from Holt, California. So I just want to make sure. I mean,
yeah, but we're doing it right. We're having electrical engineers.
There's more than just the generator cost there. So
how do we tackle that if we wanted to do it? I mean, you could go find out what a lease cost is and the installation cost is, but then you got to go back and talk to the budget people and says, can you slide this in there?
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't be happening this year.
That's right.
It would be next year. I mean, if the board decided to go for a lease option, then we'd have to put that in that would have to work into the 5-year rate study. We wouldn't be able to do it this year. It'd be too tight.
That was my point.
And you'd have to put it out to bid, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, regardless.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a great discussion. I'm glad we did this. Do you have any comments?
No.
So I'll get this corrected and get it back out.
No, nothing else to add. Thank you.
And anybody else? Do you have any more comments?
Then the corrections on table 3 and 4 go to the board for...
It's just a part of the budget process.
Yeah.
It'll just be... One other
page in the budget?
Yeah, this will get. I'll send this out to the board, okay. Corrected, and then I'll post it on the web so people can see it.
Thank you so much. We're adjourned.